There was an election to the board of directors of the Homeowners Association where I live, and no, it is not called Great Mountain. And there was a controversy about how the election was handled and the person that they put on the board of directors. And somebody made a complaint, the losing candidate made a complaint. And they hired an outside law firm to write this advice letter on what they should do. 2.5 pages, single-spaced. They included a copy of this letter in the monthly newsletter from the Homeowners Association back in the day when it was printed and delivered to my house. And I read it. And this was my reaction. Where's the answer? Where in the original letter do you think the answer to this question was found? At the end, right? In fact, it was the second to last paragraph where they offered their recommendation. And the last paragraph was, if you have further questions, don't hesitate, right? So, without naming the lawyers and without even naming my own homeowners association, I wish that they had spilled the beans. And this is the writing nerd in me. I have produced so many different revisions to that opening to opening. Here's the one that I'm currently using, right? So, neither of two candidates received a majority. You awarded the seat to one of them. That might be legal, but it would be better to have a runoff election. That's the bottom line that I think should have been front-loaded into the opening paragraph. Then, all the stuff, right? This is what happened. You hired us, da-da-da-da-da. That can be later. And in fact, here's a nice little thing called a background section. We're thinking about throwing in a background section. Here's a demand letter that I found. Enclosed, please find. So probably you're not using the phrase enclosed, please find, but maybe in an email you're using attached, please find. I don't know. But if the letter or email message is doing more than attaching the thing, I don't think you should open it that way. I don't think that's the first phrase that should come out in the email message or letter. And possibly you know of the nationally known legal writing expert whose name is Brian Garner. He one time did research on that phrase, and he wrote a little piece tracing criticisms of the phrase enclosed, please find, from the present back to 1880. Writing experts have been criticizing it as a stiff, stilted way to begin a piece of correspondence since 1880. Okay, so where's the demand? Where's the offer? What's going on here? It's at the end. In the second to last paragraph is where you find it. Hey, spill it. So this is what I rewrote. This letter contains our settlement offer of 32.5 with supporting blah, blah, blah. I have shown that previous slide and this slide to numerous groups of attorneys, but I did so once in a small context, maybe 12 or 15 attorneys in a smaller room, and an attorney raised his hand and said, I don't like to begin my settlement letters or demand letters like that. I just don't think it's good. That dollar amount is just splattered there in the first paragraph, and it has no context, and it's likely that it could put my reader off. So what I do is I build my case. I lay out the factual scenario, I lay out the legal standards, and I build my case, and then my demand has a better context. And so when a real-life practicing attorney makes a statement like that, I tend to be quiet. I don't practice law. And I said, okay, thank you. And a different lawyer in the room raised a hand and said, you know what I do when I get a letter like that? The first thing I do is look at the end to see what the dollar amount is so that helps me process everything else I'm reading, right? So there we were. Somebody validated, anyway, my remark. I went online to some web-based repository of administrative decisions, and I found an administrative decision issued by an ALJ in a tax matter. And oh my goodness, it was a little dry. I don't think that had to do with the writing. It had to do with the subject matter. But this is what the opening paragraph, the first text in the document, other than some little heading about who was involved. This hearing was held on this date. Okay. Here's who represented the tax division. And the sole witness was so-and-so. So does that information have to be in there? It probably has to be in there somewhere that you have to say, this is when we did it, this is who showed up, and this is what they did, right? It's necessary background, but it doesn't have to come first, is my opinion. So I read the opinion, the decision, and I thought I understood it. That is my summary about the three transactions at issue and what should happen to them. And then there's my little background paragraph. This is when it was held, this is who was here, and these are their witnesses.